Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz with the big news that at least one person has decided not to run for president in 2020. It's former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who announced his decision earlier today on WBUR, citing personal reasons and long discussion with his wife, Diane.
As Diane and I reflected on it, we realized that there's no way around the fact that the process is cruel. And though she and I were prepared for that, I think we realized that that was going to draw in and affect people we loved who were not necessarily prepared for that or not necessarily signed up for that.
For more on this and the still broad field of hopefuls, that is, infinity minus one still leaves infinity hopefuls, we're joined in studio by WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, good to see you, Evan.
And also with us is Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook. Stephanie, a hearty welcome for your first visit to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Let's start with the phrase that Governor Patrick used, the process is cruel. Anthony, what do you think he's talking about?
Well, I mean, he was pretty specific about this. I mean, he talked about a lack of decorum, a kind of ruthlessness that defines the modern political campaign. And I actually think he's right about that. I mean, this ain't for sissies, this business. I mean, it also takes a huge amount of money. And when you sign on, you're signing on for a really long, hard ride. I've covered a presidential campaign from beginning to end. It's hard enough on the traveling press. It's brutal for the candidates. And so, you know, I think he was pretty clear when he talked about not wanting the cruelty of the process to ultimately splash back on members of his family. To me, it's understandable, and it's a process that every potential candidate has to go through. And he just came out on the no side of that equation.
It just seems to me that he knew all of that weeks ago, months ago. I mean, he says the decision is about this, is protecting friends and family from scrutiny. But what are you going to say? Like, well, what else do you say? You know, so another way to take it, I guess, is and I'll just throw this out there and I'll let Stephanie respond to it, right, is that he dipped his toe in the water and found that the water was really cold and not welcoming of him and that he wasn't going to be able to mount a campaign and then came up with a reason to back out. Am I way off base? Stephanie, what do you think?
No, I think you're right. And this is really going to be, I mean, 2020 is going to be a unique campaign cycle. There are, what, like 30, maybe 29 people now thinking about diving into the Democratic primary. And then whoever prevails from there is going to be probably against President Trump. So, I mean, it's going to be a uniquely intense campaign. And there were some things that had been coming out about Deval Patrick. I think it was on Monday the Huffington Post had ran a story calling him a foreclosure mogul. So these things, I mean, when you're...
That is raising questions about his financial ties with various companies that...
Well, it sort of raised questions about his progressive credentials, you could say. Right. It was called, Deval Patrick foreclosure mogul, right?
So just an indication of the kind of opposition he might face from the media or from other campaigns.
Yeah, but I think he was, I mean, and he spoke to Bob Oakes this morning specifically about the mood that we're dealing with. I mean, specifically in the Trump era. I mean, it'll get nasty in a hurry. And, you know, he said something really telling to David Axelrod last September in a podcast. He said, it's hard to see how you even get noticed in such a big, broad field without being shrill, sensational, or a celebrity. And I'm none of those things. I'm never going to be any of those things. So I don't know, Evan, I have a sort of different point of view than you on this. I mean, for me, it's sort of a sad commentary about our current political process that someone like Deval Patrick has to come to this conclusion. I don't think it was just a kind of cold calculation that, oh, man, this is going to be hard. I don't want to do it. I think he just didn't really want to descend into the sloppy mess that it is these days.
Well, I'm certainly not going to dispute that there's a lot of slop and mess out there that one has to enter to get into politics. So you'll get no argument from me on that. I do wonder, Stephanie, about whether the field was particularly crowded here in Massachusetts. That is, there was the possibility it was not going to be just Governor Patrick, but also Senator Elizabeth Warren, who has not ruled out a run, and former Secretary of State and Senator John Kerry, also from Massachusetts, who is apparently considering a run. That does make for a lot of people from Massachusetts.
Yeah, and it is. It will be a crowded field for Massachusetts. A couple of other names that I've heard floating around are Rep. Seth Moulton, Rep. Joe Kennedy III. So one of the challenges there is that folks are going to be kind of competing for Massachusetts donors. There are only so many operatives. It is going to be a crowded field. But I've heard the argument that Elizabeth Warren and Deval Patrick could have coexisted peacefully through the primary and then supported one or the other, depending on what happened. So I don't think that that was totally part of the calculation, but it definitely poses a challenge, especially for the folks who haven't ruled out a run for Massachusetts still.
And Patrick himself said it really wasn't the main issue.
Both friends. I talked to Senator Warren yesterday. Both friends, both terrific public servants. You know, it was going to be competitive anyhow, and I think that had I been in, at least my hope was that we would keep it positive and remember that friendship right through the contest.
Anthony, I'm actually going to turn it around and ask whether this changes things for Warren and possibly for Kerry. Not having Patrick around, does it free them in a way?
Well, I mean, I'll talk about Warren. I don't think initially it does change anything for Warren because she's. I mean, whether or not people believe she's a viable presidential candidate, she's a front runner, if not the front runner, because she's been at this for so long, laying the groundwork. She's got a lot of name recognition across the country. She's been raising a lot of money. So if she were running with Patrick, in a way, they would be sort of in different leagues in terms of notoriety, I guess you could say. They'd also be occupying different lanes. I mean, Elizabeth Warren would run very much in the progressive place, sort of in the space occupied by Bernie Sanders. Whereas I see Deval Patrick as, you know, the big ideas guy with the soaring rhetoric, talking about sort of this civic, this commitment to the civic church. I was really struck by a couple of speeches he gave leading up to the midterms, one in Cleveland in particular, where he gave this powerful speech built around the idea that we can't be a great country unless we're a good country. And by that, he was talking about things like, you know, we can't treat people at the border by throwing them in cages and separating families. And if we're not, you know, good to people, we can't consider ourselves sort of a great country. And I think he would have brought some of those big ideas to the campaign trail. In that way, I think, a little different than Elizabeth Warren.
And there's I sense a kind of melancholy that from your side that we're losing a kind of ethics first candidate.
Yeah, and I want to be careful because I think that I don't have any confidence at all. I mean, I don't have a view one way or the other how far he would have gone. But if there's a sense of melancholy, it's sort of what I said before. It's this feeling that someone like Deval Patrick, who I think for better or for worse, but probably for better, brings a good set of issues to the table and just feels there's no room in this system for me. And I think that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people left. I mean, I checked the betting markets this morning to see what people expect. And it looks like the current leading Democrats are Bernie Sanders, followed by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Stephanie, does that sound right to you? As you know, who's got the inside lane for this?
I mean, it's still so early to tell. And I think that, I mean, right now it's a lot more about name recognition than anything else, since 2020 is still pretty far out. But that sounds about right to me. Here in Massachusetts, I mean, the focus has really been on Elizabeth Warren and kind of shifting towards John Kerry a little bit. But, I mean, there's still just so much more time.
And, you know, even if it isn't 2020, so maybe this isn't the time for Patrick. Does that mean it's the end? So Bob Oak asked Patrick this morning when they talked whether this was the end of Patrick's political career. Here's what Patrick said.
Well, who can predict? There are lots of ways to help, and I intend to be as helpful as I can in this cycle without being a candidate. Listen, I'm having a ball with our impact investing business. It's been incredibly powerful, and you know, if I can't in this cycle make change in government, I can make change in capitalism, and there's a lot of change there that needs to be made.
So he's not ruling out a return someday. Anthony, do you think this is the end of the road?
Well, I don't know. As he said, who can predict? But, you know, I suppose there's a chance he could return, but or maybe he accepts a job in some future Democratic administration. But don't forget, Patrick has spent a lot more time in business than he has in government. And I think that's where he's comfortable. And what I took away from what he told us this morning was that he took a good, long, hard look at whether he wanted to run for president. He decided for a bunch of reasons, many of them personal, that he didn't want to. So I can't really imagine the set of circumstances that would compel him to feel differently about that in the future. But as he said, who can tell?
Who can tell? Stephanie, Deval Patrick for vice president?
I mean, I've seen it all over Twitter today. And then he posted his statement that he wasn't running on Facebook. And I was looking through the comments just before I got here. And a lot of folks were saying you should team up with someone and run for vice president. So, I mean, who can know? And I mean, it's still early to speculate.
I guess we'll have you both back and we can discuss it when it happens.
So, Evan, Stephanie's right. It is early. However, only 425 days to go until the Iowa caucuses.
I am so glad that you've been counting. You have like a wall calendar. I'm imagining little X's on your wall. That's Anthony Brooks, WBR senior political reporter. Anthony, thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Evan.
And Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook. Stephanie, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston.